In association with For Whom the Cowbell Tolls.com, Mississippi State's SB Nation site, this is For Whom the Podcast Tolls. And now, Daniel Black and Ethan Lee.
Folks, and welcome to another episode of From the Podcast Tolls here on April 28th, 2016. This is the official podcast from thecowbelltolls.com, Mississippi State's estimation site. I'm Daniel Black, writer, clearing throat for From the Cowbell Tolls, and joining me is fellow From the Cowbell Tolls writer, Ethan Lee. Hello, Ethan.
How's it going?
I'm just fine. How about yourself?
I'm pretty good.
Even though your head is in throbbing pain?
I mean, it's been worse. I once had to leave middle school, like, in the middle of the day, because I couldn't see straight and couldn't walk straight from a migraine.
You didn't have to say that.
It was awful. It was in, like, seventh grade. I went home and just, like, slept for a couple of hours, which was nice, but it was not great.
You didn't have to say that. I mean, yeah. You didn't have to go and...
You're welcome.
To that...
I mean, just be glad it's not intestinal distress. Because if I'd gone in depth there, you really would have hated me.
The Braves just hit their first home run in 20 games.
The Astros are bad. The Astros are flat out awful right now, but the Braves are so much worse.
Yeah. So, on the show today, Mississippi State defeated Ole Miss again.
That was fun.
I don't know why I need to clear my throat so many times. We defeated Ole Miss 2-0 in the Governor's Cup. In Pearl, we'll talk about that. We have an upcoming series against the Bammers.
Yep.
We'll talk about that. And we have questions.
We do have questions.
So, man, why do I need to clear my throat so many times?
I don't know.
But yeah, the Governor's Cup, a 2-0 victory for the Mississippi State Bulldogs.
The first shutout since it's been called the Governor's Cup.
Yeah, good, fun fact, yeah.
Yeah.
Look at you with the fun facts.
I try to get some occasionally.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Yep.
It is the third time in the last 4 years that Mississippi State has won the Governor's Cup.
That is true. Yeah.
You get a fun fact in, I deal another one.
I can't, there's no post-game notes for this. This is stupid.
There's something called stats.
Well, yes, I have the stats open. I was just looking for post-game notes.
Terrific. Mississippi State defeated 2-0. Or defeated 2-0. Defeated Ole Miss 2-0. Yes.
We were defeated 2-0?
No, we defeated 2-0.
That's awful.
We defeated a school called 2-0.
Okay.
Ryan Osir started on the mound. What did I say on Tuesday that I didn't mean in a and I that I said that I didn't even mean for it to come true? I compared him to Lucas Laster in 2014, and by the grace of God, I was exactly right.
Let's just hope that next year is not a repeat of last year, then.
Shut up. He pitched 4 innings, gave up 4 hits, no runs, struck out 1, but got 3 flyouts and 7 groundouts.
And really, for a guy that has not pitched against anybody significant this year, outside of FAU for like 1 inning, and really hasn't pitched more than 2 innings on the year, this was a really good performance, especially against this Ole Miss team, who is one of the better hitting teams in the conference.
Yeah. Sear, how many innings did he pitch before? Just like 12 innings, correct?
Yeah.
That was good to see.
Yes.
We have a possible starting pitcher for the midweek. Possibly.
Yeah. Possibly.
I'm not guaranteeing
anything.
Maybe
a decent trio here.
Not guaranteeing anything. Yeah. Zach Houston replaced him. He pitched 2 2/3, gave up 3 hits, struck out 2. And Billingsley dealt.
He was good.
Jacob
just
Billingsley.
Flat out. Good.
Got this first save of the year, 2 1/3, gave up 2 hits, no runs, struck out 3.
Yeah.
So, pitching was absolutely terrific. And
we didn't expect that.
No. Everyone expected a high-scoring game. Legitimately, everyone, John Clark. You don't have to attack us for nothing. We're not perfect.
There were plenty of Ole Miss folks. There were several other state folks that were expecting a higher-scoring affair than what we obviously got, which was, it had two runs in it.
There's no need to attack us. We're innocent children.
Well, one, we're not innocent. Two, I guess technically you're still a child?
You're a child.
Whatever.
We're both children.
But one thing that we talked a little bit about last time, something that kind of came true again, is that we see this trend of, someone new steps up each and every game. And we did not expect Ryan Sear to be able to go out and throw four shutout innings. We didn't expect Zach Houston to do what he did. We didn't expect Billingsley to do what he did. So, as a whole, this performance was completely unexpected and slightly expected in the fact that at this point we should expect someone new to show up each and every game.
And I'll go ahead and say this about our midweek pitching as of late.
It's getting good.
I'm going to read off all of our midweek games in conference play. So this was after the Vanderbilt series.
Okay.
Gave up one run, five runs, no runs, one run, no runs, no runs. That's an average of, over the course of these six games, that's an average of 1.3 runs per game. We've given up seven hits per game, and we've pitched three shutouts.
We need to find a way, just stating the obvious here, to get our midweek pitching on Sundays. I would rather take these Sunday games than some of these, outside of this midweek game. I could do without some of these midweek wins, to be honest.
Like UL Monroe or Memphis or UT Martin, who are all god, or what about Mississippi Valley State?
I mean, I'll take our chances with Sunday pitching against those teams, to be completely honest.
Okay.
I think we could score 50.
A loss to MVSU would probably put our RPI down to 50. But
no, well, what I'm saying is I think we could still come away with a win against those chumps, is more of what I'm saying.
But, I mean, really the only horrible, it wasn't even horrible, the only less than ideal pitching performance in those midweek games that I mentioned was Southern Miss, and we only gave up five runs.
To a very good team.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, and by really good, I mean, they are a legitimate, they have a legitimate shot at hosting.
D1 Baseball put out their field of 64 today, their predictions that they have made throughout the season. And they had us as a national seed paired with a Hattiesburg regional that featured Ole Miss as the number two seed.
Woof. Woof.
The state of Mississippi would implode.
You know, remember when there was a chance that there could have been a super regional in Oxford with us in it back in 2014?
Amazing.
Southern Miss wasn't thrown in there.
Yeah.
Like, oh my gosh. I'll tell you this. I don't want there to be an Ole Miss Mississippi State Super Regional ever.
No.
Little heart couldn't take it.
That'd be too intense. But throwing Southern in there as well as, another very good team, things get really interesting really quickly.
Yeah.
But back to this game.
Yeah, we talked about pitching, really good pitching. Let's talk about hitting.
Decent hitting.
It was decent. It wasn't fantastic.
We got eight hits.
It was, they out-hit us 9-8.
Yeah.
Which is kind of surprising, but they left 11 runners on compared to our leaving 7 runners on.
Still not great.
Take it. It wasn't terrific hitting, but it got the job done. Jake Mangum in his homecoming.
Yeah.
He probably had the best performance, 2-for-3 with a run. Reed Humphreys with another good performance, 2-for-4 and an RBI. So
that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
Ridley went 1-for-3. the guys all at the top of the lineup all drew walks. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, just, you know, nothing spectacular here.
But this game was pretty, in my opinion at least, this game was pretty similar to LSU game 2.
Yes, very similar.
Where we got off to a, not necessarily a hot start, but we got on the board early, was up 1-0 after the first inning, where we were able to put another run on the board. And the LSU game was the 6th, here it was the 3rd, and we were sort of just able to preserve that lead throughout the remainder of the games. There were times where it got pretty shaky, cough, cough, 8th inning, cough, cough, but we were still able to preserve the lead and ultimately finish the job.
Talking about 8th innings real quick.
Yes.
You know, we haven't had an 8th inning true, like an actual meltdown in the 8th inning lately. But that doesn't mean that, like, 8th innings still aren't shaky for this team. We still see teams getting on base. You know, it's an improvement over giving up 18 runs in the 8th inning a game. But it's still, I mean, you know, it's improvement, but it's still not where you want to be just yet.
Mm-hmm.
So why are people, like, getting up in arms about the memes?
I mean, they're just jokes, folks. That rhymed.
Oh, man.
I didn't even mean that to rhyme.
Oh, that was pretty good, though.
Before you continue.
Yeah.
I would really love to read some of these, because, you know, whenever Ole Miss plays, particularly in baseball, we have to read off some of the names.
Yes.
That played.
Yes, we do.
Henri Latrigay. Henri played for the Rebels. I don't know if it's pronounced Henri or Henry, but with his
last
name. I think
Henri Lartigue.
Yeah, okay.
Lartigue? I should have paid better attention last night when they were announcing
it. I like Dallas Wolfork. Or Dallas Wolfolk. Dallas Wolfolk.
J.B. Woodman is not a guy that I would typically expect to play for a team like Ole Miss. You know, more so a team like A&M.
Yeah.
UT, like Texas UT, not Tennessee UT.
Uh-huh.
Just because that is not a name that strikes me as Ole Miss.
Mm-hmm.
The way that Tate Blackman kind of strikes me as.
What about Holt Perdzak?
Very much an Ole Miss name. Cameron Deshaun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds like a mustard.
There's a mustard that is Deshaun Mustard.
Yeah, that was the point. Yeah,
I know. Red Cup Rebellion's been making that joke all season.
But, still, we're looking for the name that will top Houghton Buchanan from that 2014 team. Houghton Buchanan? My name is Houghton Buchanan. I am from Oxford, England. I wanted to go to America, so I moved to Oxford, Mississippi. It's not as nice as Oxford, England, but the people treat me just... But the people in Oxford, Mississippi act just the same as the people in Oxford, England. Houghton Buchanan. I mean, the name Buchanan is... For those who have read The Great Gatsby, it is the last name Buchanan represents establishment and richness and just overall just douchebaggery. So it's perfect.
Brady Bramlett is a pretty Ole Miss name, in my opinion.
You're just going through their roster?
Yeah, I'm going through their roster right now because they're... Their lineup really doesn't have any traditional Ole Miss names, and I don't really see one on their roster that'll top Mr. Buchanan.
Houghton so. Buchanan. Houghton.
What we should have done is what, you know, with baseball is what we did with football, and do the all names teams.
We need to do that for football again.
We will.
Second annual.
Yeah.
But yeah, a good win. Mississippi State wins 2-0. Helped our RPI. I haven't checked the RPI yet.
I think it went up to 12.
Oh, well, so one spot.
They fell to 7 for what it was worth.
But still, that gives us... I mean, even if it doesn't help us particularly a lot as at this moment, it will still help us by the time the committee looks at all the resumes in terms of hosting and the possibility of a national seed. So,
yeah, this one is big for, you know, just a multitude of reasons. One,
but you know, according to Ole Miss, they were just getting ready for LSU, and this doesn't matter. Football.
Football's the only sport that matters now.
Yeah, as they attack us over, you know, they attack us for...
They got so mad about a game they didn't care about.
Yeah,
as you like to put it.
It's interesting, huh? I mean, they were really going after us.
I mean, for something, you know, there were accounts like Vegas Rebs. He didn't seem to care all that much. He was disappointed, but he truly didn't seem to care the way that...
He
I don't think he cares about baseball as much.
He expressed his disappointment with comedy, which is what I like in people. Unlike Thomas Hayden III.
That's an Ole Miss name.
I know. But, I mean, it says the third on his profile.
He's got the three eyes?
Uh-huh. I mean, like, who, and I'm going to find the tweet here, quoted... our fun tweet that I tweeted. You liked that?
You tweeted it.
Yeah. I did tweet it of Kermit. And, you know, I didn't mean that as a way of superiority from State over Ole Miss. You know that I mentioned it just to get those people riled up. And boy, did it work! Oh, let's find the tweet here. Thomas Hayden III. Football rules over everything, especially an ass kicking at your own place. You don't have to use profanity. You don't have to, Mr. Hayden III. You don't have to do that.
Yeah. He was pretty grumpy. And then when you quote tweeted it, with "Here they come," Alex McDaniel actually liked that tweet. Something I noticed when scrolling through the mentions, the notifications.
I mean,
because hey. I had some fun with the For Whom the Cowbell Tolls account shortly thereafter. So yeah, Ole Miss fans, you know, had a wide array of reactions. Some, you know, not so bad because they care more about football, which is just who they are. They actually care more about football. And then some tried to pretend that they didn't care at all, and when they actually did.
But I can't believe I'm saying this, but J Dog actually made a good point in his tweet. I never thought those words would ever come out of my mouth, but he said that Ole Miss fans over the last 365 days. Number one, we are going to beat State and everything again. Number two, we only lost because Moody was out. Three, football is the only sport that matters.
Yeah. Yeah.
Gotta love them Rebels. Gotta love them. They're a fun bunch. I hate every single one of them. Let's talk about Alabama.
Preview our upcoming series.
The Bammers.
Against a pretty good team this year.
They're a weird team.
They have good pitching.
They're
very good pitching.
I'm going to go over their schedule, because they're a very, very, very weird team.
Yeah.
They started
out... much like their basketball team.
Yes. They started out 9-1.
Like their football team.
They really started out, I mean, not only 9-1, let's see, they started 12-2. So, including wins over Notre Dame and series win over Maryland, and then they lost a series to Houston, and this is where the weirdness begins.
A good Houston team.
Yeah, they are good, but this is where the weirdness begins. They lose to Southern Miss, but follow it up with a series win against LSU. They lose to UAB, but then follow it up against a series win against Tennessee. They lose
a pretty dominant win.
They lose a midweek game against Auburn 10-1, and then lose a series to Georgia. Lose a series to Kentucky, follows that up with a win over UAB and a series win over Ole Miss, a win over Troy in the midweek, a loss to South Alabama, a series loss to Texas A&M, and now they've lost to Samford. You know what that means? They're going to take the series from us, aren't they?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. But the thing is, as I mentioned, this is a team that has taken a series from LSU, has taken a series from Ole Miss, so this team is tricky. This team can sneak up on you when they want to.
But then they can also lose in craptastic fashion to teams like Georgia, Kentucky. So
except Kentucky's not horrible. I'll say that.
No, Kentucky and Georgia are both, I think, you know, middle tier teams. We've talked about baseball tiers in this conference before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, State is obviously at the top. Alabama's somewhere in the middle. Georgia and Kentucky are both somewhere in the middle. But we're seeing them competitive with teams like A&M. You know, they had a chance to win that series with the Friday night game. They went to extra innings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, they didn't get to play Oregon, so we can't really say that as a, you know, a comparable, similar opponent.
Yeah.
But they lost a close game against NC State, a 1-2 game.
And NC State has a very good program, by the way. They managed the College World Series.
Number eight in the nation.
Yeah, they managed the College World Series when we did.
Yeah, but they're also a very good team this year.
Uh-huh.
One of the best.
Yeah.
So they have these games and these instances where they are showing greatness. You know, a little bit of qualifier here. When they beat LSU, LSU was playing some pretty bad baseball.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they still beat LSU. That's nothing to sneeze at.
Yeah. And so, I think, did they do it in Baton Rouge?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they took it in Red Stick.
Baton Rouge!
Yeah, they're pretty good on the road.
Uh-huh.
It's not like most teams that just roll over on the road.
And I forget this is a Thursday, Friday, Saturday series, so
I hate these sort of series. Especially with finals coming up. But on the road, they are... Oh, they're 6-10. That's not good.
Are they not playing on the road?
No, but I was just saying
they
were good on the road. And they're not so good on the road. They're good on the road against good teams, though.
But they're not on the road.
No. It's irrelevant. I was just checking the record for something I had just said. Not necessarily implying that this is in Starkville. This is not in Starkville. This is in Tuscaloosa. This is in Alabama. I agree.
But anyways, let's talk about their pitching matchups. On Thursday... On Thursday, they'll be starting Jeffrey Bramlett, if that's how you pronounce it. On the season, pulling up the stats if I can, if it loads. That's not what I wanted at all.
Is that second B silent?
Bramlett? Jeffrey Bramlett? I'm going to say Bramlett. He has a 2.32 ERA, a 3-2 win-loss record, has 10 appearances and 10 starts. He has pitched 62 innings, has given up 47 hits, 17 runs, has a 55-20 strikeout-to-walk average. So that is 16... that's not bad.
Teams are hitting .205 against him.
That's not too shabby.
The thing about Alabama is... they have some really good starting pitchers. They are not hitting well.
Yeah, they have a team average of .248.
Yeah. At home, Bramlett has an ERA of 1.74.
Ooh.
A 1-1 win-loss record. 31 innings pitched.
Mm-hmm.
Surrendered 21 hits. Only 6 earned runs. And he's only given up 2 home runs.
And per the norm, we'll be starting Dakota Hudson on Thursday. On Friday, Alabama will be starting Jake Walters. At first, I thought it was Jake Waters, and that was the old Kansas State quarterback.
From 2 years ago.
Yeah, but Jake Walters has a 1.89 ERA, 4-3 win-loss record, 57 innings pitched, given up 52 hits, 18 runs, has a 56-22 strikeout to walk ratio, and teams are hitting .244 against him.
You know, this guy is actually better on the road. He has a 1.19 ERA on the road, a .254 ERA at home.
Fancy.
That's kind of not what you would expect.
Mm-hmm. And per the norm, we'll be starting Austin Sexton, and on Saturday, they will be starting Nick
Eicholtz.
He has a 2.16 ERA on the year, 3-1 win-loss record, 8 appearances and 8 starts, 41.2 innings pitched, given up 41 hits, 15 runs, has a 23-13 strikeout-to-walk ratio.
Yeah, at home, do you want to know what his ERA is?
I'd love to.
0.9.
I don't think we're going to be winning on Saturday.
his strikeout to walk ratio is 14-8, which isn't great, but it's still, you know, the fact that his ERA is sub 1 when he's pitching in Tuscaloosa is just phenomenal.
Ethan, I'm really tempted to predict Alabama taking the series.
I know you are. I think this is going to be a very close
series. My hand is a centimeter away from the red button.
Teams are hitting 255 against them, so, you know, I think we still have a decent shot.
So, let's talk about, on Thursday, we mentioned Jeffrey Bramlett's stats.
Yeah.
This is a game where Dakota Hudson has to perform well.
He has to perform like early season Dakota Hudson.
I mean, this team has hits 248 on the year, so this is an opportunity for Dakota Hudson to pitch well. This is an opportunity for Austin Sexton to pitch well on Friday.
Yeah.
And seeing the Game 2 starters' ERA, I mean, all three of these pitchers have terrific stats. Their hitting has just let them down on numerous occasions.
And, well, they've gone up against some teams that are not particularly great at hitting. Mm-hmm. Not as good as State is, at least.
So, well, I'm going to look up how many runs they gave up against Texas A&M. 4-4-2.
That's pretty damn good. That's impressive. That was in College Station, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Damn.
I'm very tempted.
I know you are.
I may hit the button.
I think I'm going to stick with State. I'm sticking with State, taking the series 2-1.
But
I think this will be a close series and will likely feature at least one extra inning game.
But Sexton and Hudson have to perform well, and if we lose on Thursday, we're not going to win the series. If we lose one of these games, we're not going to win the series, because at this point, I don't think we're going to win a Sunday game all year.
Yeah, just when we thought we had Connor Pilkington set for Sunday pitching, everything would be going well. We go back to to be announced, TBA.
Our deadly TBA pitcher. He has a 0.00 ERA on the year.
Which doesn't make sense to me, because I thought Pilkington did fine against LSU, unless he, you know, tweaked his elbow or something that we don't know about.
Well, I think we still had TBD before last week. I don't think Cohen made the decision until Sunday. Because I remember, in fact, someone asked
that's right.
Cohen on Saturday night who's going to start. So,
okay.
I think Pilkington's probably going to start again on Saturday. Game 3.
I would expect it, but you never know. I mean, Sear could probably get the start. And I wouldn't be mad about it.
I don't think that's going to... I mean, knowing that he pitched 4 innings against Ole Miss, no.
Okay, but if you go to Sear and then you go to Pilkington, go to someone like Zach Houston...
The thing is, if you're thinking of making Ryan Sear your full-time midweek starter now, you want to pitch him 3 times in a week?
No.
Exactly.
Would he have pitched 3 times in a week?
Of 7 days.
Did he pinch against LSU?
Well, I'm just saying in a span of 7 days.
Okay, so you're thinking ahead.
Yeah.
Even more so than Sunday.
So I'm saying the Governor's Cup,
If he were to throw 3, Sunday, you would have to start someone like
never.
Ethan
well,
Cates.
Well. We don't play a midweek game this next week.
Well, then that just takes
we
that
We play out. Another Thursday, Friday, Saturday series against... Missouri at home.
See, if we were, you know, if there were a midweek game, you'd throw someone like Keegan James at the start there, or Cale Brough.
I'm sure that's going to be good. That's going to be huge for the team, knowing that once again we're starting on Thursday again, that we don't have a midweek game, so that's good for rest against a pretty mediocre opponent.
We'll talk about that later.
We're not going to have much to talk about on Tuesday, aren't we?
No. Well, the draft.
The Braves are now 4-17. Is that right? 4-19. 4-19, I think. The Barves. Barves gonna barv.
We have the Astors again, so.
But yeah, so you wanna give a prediction?
Oh, I already did. I already said I'm sticking with you know, I think we take 2 out of 3. I think it's a close series. I think at least one of these games goes into extra innings.
I'm at a
because of how good Alabama is pitching wise.
I'm at a crossroads.
Flip a coin.
This is why I'm at a crossroads. I believe we're going to lose the series. But if we win the series, you know how much crap I'm going to be getting on Twitter. John Clark.
Flip a coin.
I don't have a coin.
I'll flip a coin. And I'm not going to lie about it. Which do you want? Heads or tails?
Tails.
Tails being win or lose?
Lose.
Heads.
All right, I'm going to say Alabama takes the series 2 out of 3.
Yeah.
So,
we're sticking with your
questions. We have questions from our friend Mr. Vanderlip, and he went all out here.
He heard
our plea.
Yeah.
He just did his boring iPhone notes pad for his last questions, and now he got on a PowerPoint, had a very fancy silver background, made the font.
I don't think he did hear our plea because I just checked the mentions, and he just tweeted out 13 minutes ago that he is just catching up with Tuesday's podcast.
Oh, wow. But anyways, he changed up. He has silver background with different sized font that's maroon, and he changed the Ole Miss font color to red.
Oh, that was... Yeah.
So, yeah, questions. Question number one, what does the Governor's Cup look like? It is a glass bowl.
Yeah, it's a very fancy cup.
It's
a cup that I don't think I would trust myself to own because I'd probably break it as soon as I brought it into my house.
Okay. Number two, does it matter what it looks like? Because we got it. Hashtag go to hell, Ole Miss.
That was pretty good. I enjoyed that. Thank you, Mr. Vanderlip.
Number three, who has more players drafted this weekend, MSU or Ole Miss? Let's see, we're weak Ole Miss.
They'll probably get more in the early rounds.
Ole Miss is the answer to that question.
I think it might
Ole Miss is the answer to that question.
I think it might be even.
State will get about 5, Ole Miss will get a good 6 or 7.
Yeah.
Ole Miss is the answer to that question. Number four, have you seen the Thank You Dak video? If so, what do you think? I've seen like it on Twitter.
It's so good.
I haven't seen it.
It is...
I've been...
It'll tear at your heartstrings,
I've been tagged in it on Twitter and on Facebook.
You need to see it. This is must watch.
I don't like crying.
It doesn't matter, man. It doesn't matter. You have to watch this. On the show, right now.
No, I'm not... No, that's just 3.5 wasted minutes for showtime. That's just awkwardness. It's just...
I mean, you'll be crying on the show.
I don't want to cry on the show.
It's a great video. You know, a lot of people tweeted about how they were in tears. I, you know, choked a couple back. It was pretty great. So, I thoroughly enjoyed it. The overwhelming... majority of people on Twitter, on Facebook, like Andrew Piper made a comment about how the people on Facebook were overwhelmingly supporting it. So if Facebook people and the comment sections on Facebook are using their powers for good instead of evil, then you know it's a good video.
Look at J-Dog's last tweet about fire.
I think I retweeted it.
Okay, so I guess that'll do it for this episode of From the Podcast Souls. Ethan Lee, do you have any final thoughts?
Yeah, go watch that freaking
amazing
video.
That's your final thought?
Those are my final thoughts.
Okay, so on Tuesday, we'll talk about the Alabama series and something. We're going to need, like, 15 questions to just fill up time.
We could have another... instead of like a Q&A, just have everybody send in questions. Pretend it's Q&A.
Do you have any? Could you think of any stories so we could have a story time with Ethan?
Did I ever tell the one about the Walmart story?
About pooping your pants?
Yeah.
Yeah, you have.
I told that on air?
I think so.
Oh well, then okay.
Kentucky is currently beating Miami 10-1 in the bottom of the 6th inning.
What?
Is that Miami of Ohio or Miami of Florida?
I sure hope that's Miami of Ohio.
Yep, it's the Miami of Ohio.
Okay. Let's pump the brakes on bewilderment.
B-R-A-K-E-S. Love you, Jake Wimberly.
We'll figure something out. So.
All right, so until then, thank you all for listening, and remember to be #
not a douchebag on Twitter.
Very quality, and what Ethan said. Make sure to include the # #. #. #slinging/. I'm ending the show now.
#.